Joining us now, we have one of the most recent winners on the Symetra Tour. Natalie Sheary joins us. Welcome into the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, first off, I got to ask you, how does it feel to be in the same company as me as winning on the same golf course in Brockton, Lord. Massachusetts, Thorny Lee? You won the WB Mason. You actually won money. I won a junior tournament ages ago. But how does it feel?
Hey, I mean, anything that I could do to follow in your footsteps, I mean, obviously I'm proud.
You've obviously never met him.
Back when I had a lot of hair, Natalie, back when I had a lot of hair.
Oh, Lord.
So, you know, let's just say, you know, the season so far, you've had some good weeks, some not so good weeks, and then a first place finish at the WB Mason Championship. Kind of walk us through from the week before you finished tied for 13th, had some good rounds, maybe not as strong a finish as you wanted to, but jumped right out with a 62 first round up there at Thorny Lee. What really went right for you that week?
You know, I had been close in quite a few tournaments leading up to Boston, and as you said, you know, I didn't finish as strong as I wanted to. There'd always be a hole or two that I made, you know, some sort of like a mistake, whether it's, you know, selection of club or something like that, like nothing crazy swing-wise. So I knew I was close. So when I came up to Boston, it was the first event this year that my dad was able to be on the bag. My mom was watching, and everything just went fairly well for me.
And what, does Thorny Lee sort of shape up well for your game? I mean, -9 is nasty in the first round score. I mean, that is dropping
right
the mic on the other girls and walking.
You know, I gave myself a ton of birdie opportunities. I think my longest birdie putt was maybe 7 feet. So nothing too crazy. You know, but I mean, I grew up in Hartford 2 hours away. So playing in, you know, Massachusetts, not too far away, all the courses are kind of the old school Northeastern kind of feel and style. So it kind of just felt like I was just, you know, walking the course with my dad by my side as I did, you know, for all the years, you know, when I lived here.
Well, and we're not going to put any damper on the win, but on the final round, you went +3. Was that a matter of conditions, a matter of fatigue, a matter
it
of
got,
what was going on, or it was in your head? Or
it
what?
Was like 80s the first 2 days, and then the final day was windy, and I don't think it even reached 60 degrees out. So I had rain gear on all day, as did most of all the other players. I made some mistakes with the wind, and that was just kind of airmail and greens, nothing swing-wise, just kind of amped up a little bit, didn't play the wind as well as I had the first 2 days, which obviously, I mean, it got a lot windier on Sunday. But regardless of score, I'm just happy that I did, you know, what I needed to do in order to walk away with the win.
So pretty much classic New England weather that time of year, where it can be, you know, 100 degrees one day and like 54 the next day. And it's just brutal.
Nothing surprising.
Yeah. So as you go through the season and coming into the season, were there specific things in your game that you were working on that maybe didn't work out as well for you last year that you said, hey, if I can improve, you know, A, B, C, or A, B, and C, I'm going to have a little bit more success out here?
Yeah, you know, driving accuracy has always been a really strong part of my game. I think I've been top three. I might be even one right now on tour as far as all the rankings go. So I know that I put it long and in the fairway, and I really needed to, you know, to look at all the stats last year and see for as long and as straight as I am, I don't hit as many greens as I need to. So I worked a lot on iron play this past off season. My short game had always been good, but I did want to work a lot on my lag for all those putting, because I felt like I wasn't hitting it that close with my irons. I had a lot of three putts last year. What can I do to stop both of those? And then, you know, obviously have my scores change.
Well, all right, I'm going to ask a tough question, Natalie. I mean, I'm looking at your finishes,
okay,
and you've got finishes in the 30s. You've got some missed cuts. You've got a 13th, a 5th, and a win. It's a little schizo.
Yes.
It's at least a little bit schizophrenic. To the listener out there who's looking at professional golfers and just assuming that week in and week out it's easy, it's consistent, what accounts for the inconsistency in the finishes?
Yeah, you know, actually, it's funny because the missed cuts that I've had, especially my Charlotte, I have never made the cut there. I've played there 4 years in a row. For some reason, that course just does not set up to me, but I feel like I was playing well. I signed up for it, and, you know, I mean, I hit it well. I didn't read any putts well, and I think I missed the cut by one or two there. But obviously, all those 30th finishes is not where I want to be, but I knew I was close. So I always just took all the positives from all those events, worked on it that next week, and that's where I got some of those nicer finishes.
Do you have the same caddy every week, or do you jump around with caddies?
No, I've been taking locals everywhere. I have never had the same caddy twice this year.
All right, so on the off chance
I've been taking locals everywhere.
On the off chance that you don't make your card this year, which, you know, after you come on the show...
Yeah, there's a bump.
There's a bump.
There's
and,
a bump.
And everybody tends to make their card. But on the off chance, you know.
Oh, perfect.
We'll get you the right caddy next year for Charlotte. How's that sound?
Oh, perfect. thank you so much.
I'm available.
No, you're busy. I'm more available than you are.
I would carry for Natalie, I would quit my role as tournament director.
Yeah, but the ladies wouldn't be happy about that.
I don't know.
See, I just throwing it out there. I mean,
I
I've got.
I mean, if you could do both, that was like.
Yeah. I've gotten people through Q School for European Tour qualifying before. So, I mean, I've got some experience.
Oh, look at you.
Exactly.
The show is mostly about him, Natalie.
It is.
It was nice for you to join us to talk about Mark today. All right, so we were looking at the rest of the season. You just had this five-event swing, which, you know, for the Symetra Tour is tough. I mean, you went from South Carolina to North Carolina to Atlanta, then to Boston, then over to Albany, and now you've got a couple of weeks off. As you look at the rest of the season, are there places that you look at that maybe are not Charlotte that you look at and where you feel really confident that that's a place you can go and you can score well and let's get into the top 10 and stay there and get onto the big tour next year?
Right. You know, actually our next swing, which it's funny because we just finished Albany on Sunday and I'm already leaving on Thursday to drive to Notre Dame territory. Our next event is in South Bend, Indiana. Yeah. But that next swing of Midwest events are really, really solid golf courses. So I know that we all love those events. So I'm actually, you know, pretty happy that those are next for us.
You mean when you're getting on your private jet and you're heading to South Bend?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
It's
yes, I have a private jet called the Pathfinder.
You don't want your jet to find a lot of paths. Paths are bad in aviation.
None at all. None at all.
All right. So when you look at the Volvic race for the card, you're on the outside looking in right now, out there in 11th. And the good news is that outside of Madeline, which unless somebody wins about 8 straight tournaments at this point, I don't think they're going to catch Madeline. You're really only, you know, $10,000 out of second place. I mean, there's got to be some definite encouragement there that Madeline has kind of stolen a lot of money from a bunch of people, and everybody else is pretty well bunched together. So there's plenty of opportunity to move up with good play.
Yes, and I think it might be like maybe $1,700 out of 7th or 8th place.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. You know, obviously, if I don't win them or one of the girls – you know, in front of me wins that you want her to win because you just want her to run away with as much money as you can so that no one else can take it and kind of bump you out.
Yeah, I mean, when we first started here in Charlotte 5 years ago, a single win virtually put you in the top 10 to stay.
Yes, and that is not the case anymore.
Is the tour better for that?
You know, I think it is good because, you know, as you said before, you could win one and kind of just be set and not even play any tournaments and just know that you are good. But now, because all the purses are higher, there's so many more events. I think there's 8 more than my rookie year on tour. So there is, you know, quite a few. I think 125 was the highest purse when I was out here. And now we have 4 or 5 events that are over, like, maybe 250,000. So it's almost, you know, I mean... You have to win more than one event, obviously, which Madeline has done. She's won 2 events and won our 2 highest purses so far. And then, obviously, in all the other ones, she's finished really high as well. But as you said, I've had some, you know, normal finishes, some sort of higher ones, and I'm still outside of the top 10. So you have to play well all year in order to maintain that good ranking.
Again, Natalie Sheary joining us, a Symetra Tour winner. You know, coming out of Wake Forest, first off, how did you end up at Wake Forest out of Connecticut?
Yeah, out of Hartford.
Yeah.
When I was a junior, I printed out the top 10 Golf Week ranked schools and then kind of chose some based on academics, based on location, and Wake and Duke and UVA were on there. And I got scholarships to all of them, but I actually chose to be a Demon Deacon.
Anything that kind of pushed them over the top?
You know, I liked the smaller school feel. I definitely wanted to stay in that, like, North Carolina area because you still had all the seasons like I had at home, but it was far enough south that you could still play all year round. And Wake has an awesome range on campus, so I didn't have a car my first year, and I was able to literally walk out of bed and be on this really nice facility. And it was just the coach, the team, everything just really, really fit me well.
Well, Natalie, would you make a similar recommendation to other junior players to, you know, to do a little more outreach? Don't sit around and wait for the schools that show interest in you, but take a look at the list or take a look at the academics and take a look at the different things that schools have to offer, geography, school size, and actually go after your dream a little bit harder than waiting around for somebody to come and want you?
Yeah, you know, I think that that's a great idea, especially because I knew what I wanted by the time that all the letters, like, started to come in the mail. I knew that I wanted a small school. I knew what location. I knew, you know, what was, you know, what I wanted for those 4 years, where some girls are just not sure what they want. They'll take anything. So I feel like if you do your background homework and know what you want, it will make that process a lot easier.
Well, and you chose to go to school, as did both Mark and I, far away from New England, and you know, I'm sure that your parents got to see you play in college, but it must have been really special to have your dad on your on the bag and your mom in the gallery when you won up at Thorny Lee. Was that one of the highlights?
It was awesome. Yeah, you know, obviously my dad's the one who got me started in golf. He and my mom used to come to quite a few events while I was at Wake. My dad actually traveled with me my first year when I turned pro right out of college, right out of NCAAs. I went to my first event. And, you know, never stopped from there. But it was really nice to have my dad on the back for my first win and have my mom in the crowd because, obviously, that's something I will never forget.
When did you know that you wanted to be a professional golfer? I mean, was it at some point during an amateur career, or was it at Wake Forest or somewhere?
No, it was, oh, my gosh. I started golf when I was 12, and by 13, when I started traveling nationally for – you know, all these events, I knew right then and there that I couldn't imagine myself doing anything different.
Wow. And that's the thing. I mean, and so you, again, back to Mike's point is, you know, you won some amateur events. You won the Connecticut State Women's Amateur Championship, the Eastern Amateur Championship. So you knew that you were going to be getting those letters. So you took the initiative to go out and figure out where you wanted to go before you got inundated. And it seems like it's probably getting worse now that all of this college golf is getting on TV and the championships are getting on TV. So I'm sure people that are in your situation, it's got to be getting crazy at this point.
I mean, but that's super cool, though, to have the NCAA stuff, like, on TV. We didn't even have anything like that. So it's definitely – the game is getting bigger, and I think that people just need to be ready for – especially for women's golf. Like, I think it's Women's Golf Day today, National Women's Golf Day. But it's like the game is growing so much. And there are so many scholarships out there for women's golf that girls just need to be ready because they will get picked up.
Well, Natalie, we really appreciate you hopping on with us. Good luck the rest of the season. We look to see your name at the top of the leaderboard more often. And be prepared for the Golf Shop Radio Bump.
Hey, that sounds awesome. Thank you guys so much. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.